Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the You Haven't Heard This Productions and Publications Network. For more great shows and blogs and vlogs, please visit www.yhhtmpc.com.
Welcome to YHHTMPC.
Wait. What does that mean exactly?
Oh, yeah. You haven't heard this music podcast. A show about introducing lesser-known music of lesser-known artists from all over the world. And now, without further ado, a one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
Welcome to You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast, a podcast about lesser-known music by lesser-known artists that we believe are as good, if not better, than those in the mainstream. Tonight we're back with another A-side. This is Season 5, Episode 6, Side A. Hopefully I've written that down properly. My name is Mike Five. It is my turn to drive the show this week. It will not be as good as last episode because that was the funniest thing that we've ever done, I think. But we'll try. We'll try and make it somewhere near there. Before I introduce everyone, including our special guest for the evening, I should say that if you head over to You Haven't Heard This Productions and Publications website, which is yhhtmpc.com, you can find out more about the show. Some artists, the hosts, there's a picture of me on there for some reason, other blogs, podcasts, things in Richie's ever-growing mogul network of creative awesomeness. You can help support the podcast by buying some merch, and then you'll look amazing as well. Did I miss anything from the intro, Richie, or is that... are we good?
No, short, sweet, and straight to the point.
That's me all over. So, today I've got Richie with me. Say hello, Richie.
Hello, everybody. How the bloody hell are you?
Very good. Very good. I'm on fire because I'm doing this and I'm loving it. We've also got Wayne with us. Hello, Wayne. How are you?
Hello. Hello, Mike Five. Hello, Richie. Hello, everybody out in the internet world.
In the internet world. And our special artist guest this evening, last minute because our original guest cancelled, bastards, is the fantastic Jamie Jamal from Flux. Say hello, Jamie.
Hello, hello from Bristol.
Hello, hello from Bristol.
I just need to interject a second because the person who was joining us, he had a very good reason for not joining
us. I'm sorry.
Bastard.
I should have asked that first, shouldn't I?
it was quite a serious thing. Brad Dassey was meant to join us. He's the guy at the start who introduces the podcast for us. The voiceover geezer. Unfortunately, he couldn't join us, but hopefully we'll be able to have him in the future.
So you're stuck with me. Like you're a lumpet.
Maybe just edit the bit out where I called him a bastard.
No, I'm leaving that in, Mike.
Fine. Fair. It's going well so far.
I accidentally left you in last week when I was supposed to take you out right at the end after the after the music played, and you went... and that was Elvis Presley. And I went, well, fuck me. And that was meant to be left out, but it's still in there. It's still in there.
I only played it like six times.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. That was one of my favourite bits. So that's everyone introduced. Hello, everybody. Before we go into the show, we need to talk about this week's BIS. Now, again, he didn't reply to my text, so I think this is right, but I don't know. BIS stands for, is it block, ignore, shout out, share?
Yeah.
Oh, get in. All right, brilliant. So basically, the idea is we will tag a random celebrity in our promo for the show in the hope that they will listen to the podcast. Woo-hoo. And then hopefully they'll shout out or share some of the amazing music on it, but they might not. They might just block us.
Most of the time they don't. The one artist that we thought would, because he's a friend of the podcast, even he didn't. He just queried what was going on. He just said, thank you for making me your BIS. Like we'd give him some sort of fucking award.
Well, I say, if you've made it this far, random celebrity, it's not an award. You've got some work to do. You've got to find a song on the podcast that you like, and you've got to share it and shout out about it. And don't ignore us or block us.
I mean, you can. We just make you like the rest of the cunts.
Exactly. We don't need that shit. So that's what we're doing. Who's the best for this week, Richie?
Whoever you want, you're leading it. I suggested Tim Minchin, but Tim Minchin. It's up to you.
Let's go with Tim Minchin because I thought that was a good suggestion. I think he would enjoy this.
Yeah, he ain't gonna listen. He's got millions and millions of followers. It won't even cross his radar. Well, if it does, it does.
Strikes me as the kind of person, if he did listen to this, he would enjoy it. So, Tim Minchin, if you're listening, please don't block or ignore us. Instead, have a listen and shout out or share something that you love from this show. And there's plenty to love, I'm sure. So that's that. So I think we'll go straight into the head-to-head. Brilliant. So, head-to-head this week, we've all brought a piece of music that we love from our submissions, and we think that our guests will like it as well. And we're going to let Jamie pick a winner at the end after we've had a little chat and probably gone off on a couple of tangents based on the way it's going so far. Wayne, would you like to introduce your piece of music to start with?
I will go first. Hello, Jamie. I didn't get a chance to say hello. Hello, Jamie.
Hi, Richie. Hello.
This isn't Richie, this is Wayne.
Wayne.
I'm the one that sounds like Johnny Vegas. Richie sounds like Johnny Vegas. Wayne sounds like, well, Wayne.
Me, yeah.
Wayne from Wayne's World.
That's, sure, let's go for that. I am bringing a band called Silk Tape and their song Stride. Enjoy.
Cast your eyes around
So that was Stride by Silk Tape. Stride are a Brighton-based shoegazers, and they have a fast start in 2021 with their debut. In the short time they've been playing the southeast and thriving rock scene, supporting bands such as Dutch Criminal Record and Crystal Tides. Silk Tape are George Clark, lead, not that George Clark, by the way. This is a different George Clark. This is not the bloke.
This one doesn't have a caravan.
No, he doesn't. on lead vocals and guitar. James Westerman on guitar and backing vocals, Callum Grieg on bass, and Alex Mould on drums. They make music with a keen sense of nostalgia whilst remaining current. Their songs have a focus on big drops, but harbour catchy, memorable choruses. Right, so this was sent to us January, February time, I think. And the minute I played it, I didn't know what to expect. I just got the name, that was it. And instantly, the start reminded me of the theme from Twin Peaks, the Angelo Badalamenti, the Badalamenti start. And then it fires into this powerhouse indie rock riff, and it got my attention straight off the bat. I was like, okay, where are we going from there? Because you've just subverted my expectation in about 12 seconds. And then you get this singer coming in, you know, the great George Clark coming in, and he's got this great lunging in his voice, and it's somewhere between Morrissey and Robert Smith. And I think that's what the band are going for, somewhere between The Cure and The Smiths. There's nothing new in this at all. You know, this is a song you've heard somewhere else, or you'll feel like you know it. But it is really well constructed, and it's really well recorded, and the instrumentation on it is brilliant. And I would happily sway while looking at my shoes in a darkened club while these guys played on stage. It's one of those sort of bands. I really enjoyed the change-up at the end, where it all got a bit sleazy and did something different. It didn't keep it all the same. Brought a new bit of life into the song towards the end. Yeah, it's just one of them. Just really liked it. And we'll start with Jamie. What did you think?
Yeah, I didn't get shoegazy at all. I got a bit of Royal Blood kind of thing. I loved the drums in it especially, but you're right, it has a very familiar sound. I felt like I'd heard it before, even though I probably haven't.
Yeah, it's exactly what they said. Yeah.
No, I liked it. It had a bit of guts, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly what they said. It's very nostalgic. You know, yeah. It's sort of like early to mid 90s, sort of that sort of indie rock. Yeah. Mike?
Yeah, I really liked it. It's sort of big and loud, and, you know, goes across the headphones on the speaker and kind of, you know, sucks you into it. It's not kind of, not like a weedy tune, is it? It's a very kind of in your face kind of tune. I really like you said, the end bit where it goes a bit grungy and a bit filthy. That's right up my street.
No, that's not your stuff at all, is it, really?
Yeah. A bit of filth. I might surprise you later, though. There's no filth in my song tonight. But I really enjoyed it. I was also, obviously being the professional I am, I did a bit of research and found an interview with the band. Apparently it's the first one that they wrote together in a room after the pandemic. So I had to read that twice because I thought, well, hang on, how did you meet and go, let's be in a band? But I guess that's what the internet does to people now. And then they went, oh, we can meet up, and they wrote this song, so that's why they released it first. And that's what was an interesting little tidbit. I just found in a random interview with someone. But yeah, good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good track. Definitely had a bit of balls to it, which I really liked.
Excellent.
Yeah, good.
Richie?
Yeah, it was nice bit of rock. I like that it's called Stride, because at the start it's kind of like it was trying to find its stride. It started off really fast, and then it kind of slowed down, and then it went fucking fast again, I think, didn't it? And then so it just kept changing its stride to start off, and then it kind of mentioned something to do with the stride, and I kind of put the two together. It was clever. I don't know if they did that intentionally, but yeah. It's a good piece. Quite ethereal in parts with the guitar. It was really nice. It's for a piece of rock music that it was quite nice, which is probably not what they want to hear. But yeah, I liked it.
I'll take nice over shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Excellent. Are we all finished on Stride?
Yep, think so.
Okay, well, you can find Silk Tape on Spotify because that's where I'll find them, and I'm sure there are many other places. Just put that in, as it's said.
In the show notes. They'll be in the show notes, exactly. Wayne. That's where they'll be.
Exactly. Check the show notes.
That's the place to check, isn't it? And it's the first thing I'd do. Hackney.
Yeah.
Go and look in the show notes. Maybe click on the website that says yhhtmpc.com. Maybe buy a t-shirt, you know? Who's to say you wouldn't do that? Richie, your track's coming up next. What you got for us?
Honestly, I don't know who the fuck's done this. I've got sent. There's loads of names surrounding this. I've got somebody called Mirko Hirsch who's done an extended mix. I've got lot. I can't even pronounce that name. It's got umlauts in it. Other people. I think someone called Boychonic and Scarlet Soho are the main people behind it, with some guy called Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, dollar sign, as the front person. But there's no real info in the submission. But yeah, so this is Boom Bang Boom by who the fuck knows. Boom Bang Bang Bang. We'll be right back. that was Boom Bang Boom by, your guess is as good as fucking mine. But yeah, that this song, Boom Bang Boom, is everything I fucking despise about the 80s.
That's what you really feel, Rich.
This song is... It's what I hate about synth pop. It's disgusting. If I didn't have this as a submission and know already, and somebody said, "Oh, this is a track off a Banana Armour album," I'd have gone, "All right, shit." But for some reason, because of the nostalgic element of it, I fucking love it. Also, there's a fight going on in my head over this song. I absolutely despise it, but love it at the same time. It is quintessentially the most cheesy 80s thing we've ever had sent to us on a You Haven't Heard This Music podcast ever, and we have thousands and thousands and thousands of emails. It's brilliant. And horrible at the same time. Wayne.
Oh, mate. So as soon as it started off, I got this whole Pet Shop Boys vibe going on that was completely skating the line with Frankie Goes to Hollywood. And then it just washed over me, and it all becomes instantly infectious, and it's bright and it's bouncy. And it's like, what the fuck even is this? But it's so 80s with this influence and this electro that, you know, that shit's all in vogue at the moment, all because of The Weeknd and people like him. And this has got to be a surefire hit because of that.
This is a step ahead of all of that, this is.
Well, it's gone even further. I bloody loved it so much, I ran upstairs and put a suit jacket on and instantly rolled the arms up. You know what I mean?
It's... I've got my shell suit on.
Exactly. I mean, a few years ago, Black Mirror released an episode called San Junipero. This would be on the soundtrack too.
Yes.
It is that 80s. It is so 80s that I was 7 years old again playing with Optimus Prime. That's how 80s this is. Loved it.
Jamie.
Well, take me to the discotheque in my slacks. I'm the same as you, Richie. Part of it I loved and part of it I hated. I was really... One minute I was liking it, the next minute I wasn't. Sometimes it was a bit like how I remember watching Eurovision in the 80s as a kid.
A lot of Eurovision is still like this today.
Yeah, that's true. It was sort of felt a bit of tallow in places, a bit high energy, and then a bit Eurovision for me.
Yeah.
Boom, bang, boom. Yeah, I would have changed some of those lyrics, but I liked parts of it.
It's funny you should say tallow, because in his spiel on Spotify, it actually says that he's been christened Britalo. So,
Right, have you found out who's done this?
Yeah, it's Knight. That's what the guy's Knight, name is. Yeah.
Oh, on his profile.
Yeah, it's just a remix of the song.
Okay.
It's a fucking brilliant remix. I love it.
Well, I'm going to have to go and listen to the original. Or maybe not. We'll see.
I think if we were all drunk at the discotheque, we'd love that, though, wouldn't we?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, definitely.
I'd be drinking martini and fucking... I'd shave my beard down to just the moustache, absolutely.
Stood in the corner with a baby sham. Telling you.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mike!
So I just want to say, right, I've just found this on Bandcamp, and I found the like, it's got the artwork, and the artwork is a drawing of the bloke with a suit jacket with the sleeves rolled up. So I don't think Wayne could have been more spot on. And then in the tags it says Italo and New Italo. So I think we've nailed this. I think we've absolutely nailed it. I really enjoyed it. It's probably not normally my sort of thing, but it was equally entertaining, and it was kind of fun and a party anthem, and I didn't hate it. But you know, I would listen to it. I'd go out on a night out and I would dance to that, and I'd have absolutely no shame, and just have a lovely time, and then come away the next day going, "Oh, what happened? What did I do? Did I embarrass myself?" And then I'd probably just have another drink and forget about it. But yeah, I would do that and not have any worries about it. I wouldn't buy it, to coin a phrase from our guest a few weeks ago. but that doesn't mean I don't enjoy it. I think it's awesome. Yeah, it's a good tune.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I hate it, I have stuck it on my regular listening playlist, because I know if I'm having a bad day at some point and I just need perking up, and yeah, I'll bang this on, and well, so it might make me worse, but who knows. So, Mike, you're next.
Brilliant. So, my song's completely different to that. My song is by a band called Forgotten Garden, and it's called Jessica.
Jessica, she came.
So that was Forgotten Garden with their new single Jessica. I'll tell you a little bit about the band. Forgotten Garden, so what I like about this is they're normally an electric band, so sort of indie band. They're a duo and they have various guests that play with them. Their bio says they have dark wave tendencies, which sort of makes them sound like an alcoholic, I think. But their songs are generally quite sad, as you could hear, dark, haunting. They've got vocals by Innes, and Danny plays most of the instruments, and they get different people in. And like I said, they're normally an electric band, but they sometimes produce acoustic songs, and obviously this is one of them. They've got influences from The Cure, Joy Division, The Doors, bands like that, that kind of come through. But then also in the vocals, they mention Lana Del Rey, Florence Welch, and things like that. This song, Jessica, is very typical of them in the sense that it's quite sad and haunting and kind of emotive. And apparently it's a meditation on one woman's search for inner peace after suffering domestic trauma. And the idea is it highlights the fact that traumas will obviously affect people's mental state in some form for the rest of their lives. I heard this for the first time, I think yesterday or possibly Friday, and I was absolutely floored. I was just blown away and stunned by it. We played it on New Music Saturday last night as well, which is another great podcast you should check out, by the way. But we played it on the show.
How dare you?
Don't check it out, it's fucking shit.
We played it on NMS, which is shit. No, it's almost difficult to comment on it. It sort of stunned you into silence because it's so beautiful. I thought the instrumentation was incredible, her vocals. I'm not always a fan of that kind of very breathy vocal, but it worked so perfectly in this kind of song. And it felt really emotive and sincere, which I am a fan of. I just think it was absolutely stunning. So I had to bring it to the show and see what you guys think. Jamie, why don't you go first? What do you think of this one?
Yeah, beautiful instrumentation. Love the violin. Very dreamy. Really reminded me of Green Man Festival, which I go to quite a lot.
I'm going there this year.
Are you? Oh, well, I'll see you there then, Richie. Yeah. you hear this kind of stuff at Green Man all the time. I liked it. Yeah, definitely put you in a kind of an emotional place, a thought-provoking place.
I don't think it'll go on Richie's feel-good playlist anytime soon. very definitely emotional. Wayne.
As soon as it started, you know what I like to do, going blind. Come out with a song straight away or something that it reminds me of. Straight away, I was thinking The Unthanks. That's the first thing you'd push into my head. And then, the woodwind. Oh, did I love it? I don't know if it was woodwind, but it sort of like, it felt that sort of breathy, bassy sound to it. And I was just in love with that straight from the off. It is just lovely, the whole thing. It feels like you'd hear it in one of those gritty Western films that they're out, like Power of the Dog or Hell or High Water, something like that, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, something like that, where it's got this, there's a longing and a tragic beauty behind all of it. And like you say, the song's about, highlighting domestic violence and abuse. And I feel that it does it in such a beautiful, tragic way. Yeah, great song.
Richie, what did you think?
Yeah, all of the above. It's an absolutely beautiful piece of music. It was just ruined a little bit I'm going to say this, you're going to think I'm making it fucking up. I was listening to it, it's beautiful, it's ethereal, it's almost Celtic in parts. I turned around, put my feet up and listened to it, and caught the last moments of seems to be some bloke masturbating across the road in his bedroom.
Oh my god.
And he obviously didn't think that anybody could see him because he's got neck curtains, but you can clearly see what was going on. And so the mix of this beautiful song with that, it was kind of like a bewildering experience for me.
I was going to say that.
And what's worse is, I've just looked over now. He's closed the curtains now. He's finished and closed the curtains. The show is over, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
That is mental. Yeah, absolutely beautiful song. It was, like you say, it's breathtaking.
Oh my god.
What a save.
I'm gonna have to stop doing this show because I just end up crying with laughter.
Oh Christ. Jesus Christ.
Well, I've got no further comment on that. You should definitely go and Sorry. He's definitely going to listen to that song and all of the songs that we've played tonight. Try and do it.
I probably won't listen to that song again because I won't be able to listen to it without thinking of
Try and do it with the curtains closed, you're not interrupted. Richie, I think we've got the wild card coming up next. Oh, before that, Jamie, what was your favourite? Did you have a favourite?
Yeah, I would probably go with Silk Tape, you know, because
it recorded
really well. And, I would go with Silk Tape, probably.
Did they get a time travelling machine and go all the way back to fucking 1980 to do theirs?
They didn't, and I nearly picked a boom, banger, box, boom, whatever it was called, because... I think that's quite an achievement to make you love and hate a song at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first one, it was just recorded so well, I can imagine, you know, it was a bit guts, it felt a bit honest, and it the sound was great, and it felt like it was recorded really well.
Mm. Right, there you go, then.
We can't be friends anymore, but I do respect your decision.
Oh, fair enough.
Wayne, are we keeping score? I think you had a scoreboard for this, didn't you? I think you just.
I'm only keeping my score. I'm leading, so what does it matter? No, I'll go back through. I don't actually know the score. I think we didn't do score for the first two.
I don't think it matters.
No, I don't. I think Rich might be leading with two. You've got one, and I've got one. I think. I'm not sure. Because we didn't keep scoring the first two episodes, so I think it's 2-1-1 to Rich. I think.
I'm sure,
but I'm not. All right, and so it's completely irrelevant what I've just said. So don't worry about it. I have to go back and listen to the episodes. And
the bloke over the road has just knocked one out as well.
He's definitely one up.
Ask him which his favourite was.
Let's move on quickly.
Move on very quickly. Rich, let's do the wild card. So the wild card could be absolutely anything. Richie's going to flick through the inbox of thousands of emails. Some of them are very much of the 80s and some of them are not, by the sounds of it. And Jamie, when you're ready, you can say stop. Not quite yet. In a minute.
Okay, so I'm flicking through the emails now. I'm flicking through, so whenever you're ready, say stop. You're ready.
Stop.
Okay. We have Mexican nu metal hardcore band FXCK. Why didn't they just put a U there? Just fuck the monster. FXCK, fsk, the monster, and Leibala. Yeah, what does it say about these? The Mexican nu metal hardcore band fsk, the monster, releases material under the American label Curtain Call Records. We get a lot from these guys. Mm. Remembranzas D. Just every fucking week. Dude, I've got nothing. Actually, nothing on them. So this is Fusk the Monster by.
Oh, hang on. Should we say what we're thinking is going to be the song? What were you expecting?
It's going to be Mexican.
I mean, it says hardcore new metal, doesn't it? I've just found them on Spotify and the bio's in Spanish, so that wouldn't have helped you, Richie. I think it's going to be heavy. I think it's going to sound like Linkin Park meets Slipknot.
Yeah, that kind of thing. That's what I'm getting. I mean, it's quite self-explanatory.
Well, found the email that you lost, Rich, and it says the album has a great work of personalities like Adrián Terrazas González, who is from the Mars Volta.
From the Mars Volta?
Yeah, from the Mars Volta.
Wow.
Ahru Lusta from Il Nino and Machine Head, and Hector Charo or Zucco, I think his name is, which is a band called Thel Barrio. I don't know those guys. So I'm going, it's going to have a nu metal feel with some sort of the metalcore-y type jaggedy bits that I really like Clutch and who's the other? Mars Volta and people like that sort of vibe.
It's going to sound quite heavy rockish with a bit of electric.
Yeah, straight at my street, this one, I think.
Okay, right. So this is Fsk the Monster by Leibala?
Leibala.
Leibala. We'll be right back. Wayne,
right. So I've just had a quick look at this. So, Ley Bala means bullet law in Spanish, and this is in places. This is far more hardcore punk than I was expecting it to be. It's also really quite prog. It's a bit Coheed and Cambria as well, and I love those guys as well. So this is right up my street. This, I love the feel of the recording. It's very live sounding. It feels like it's just you guys have run in a room. They've hit record on all the mics and that's it. They've just gone for it because it's not completely polished. That's not a guitar that's running through some sort of board to clean it up. That feels like he's coming straight to an amplifier. That to me is what recording should be. And I like that feel. I like that's, you know, you're going to hear the same as what you did here in a live venue. And yeah, really enjoyed this.
You say that, Wayne. However, listening to the drums, that the way he was using that kick, the precision on it tells me that there must have been some computer involved. There's no way. I mean, there is a way. I mean, there are people that can do that, but the precision, that was the drums were amazing on that, I thought.
Yeah, you know, it's hardcore. It's full-on blast beat. And I've seen it done many times live, Rich. It is possible to do. I mean, they even did this thing now called galaxy blasting. Don't ask me. I'm not a drummer. I couldn't tell you what it involves. But it's something stupid, like 32 on a hi-hat or something like that. It's crazy. But yeah, like this a lot.
Mike?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I'm the same as you. I really like the recording. It just feels like they set a couple of mics up in a room and then just went, play some proggy thrash stuff and sing over it. I mean, yeah. But obviously it's better planned and rehearsed than that because it was actually good. I would imagine that'd be shit if you actually did that. But it just had that kind of, yeah, like you say, live feel, raw quality to it, which is pretty cool. I'm trying to, like, it's a bit weird. I'm sort of holding back from saying I loved it. Because I didn't love it, and I think the only reason I didn't love it is it was probably a bit too. There's something about prog music, like sort of, you know, prog rock, I guess, I can kind of cope with, like Pink Floyd and all the rest of it. I don't care about the timing changes and the pauses and all the rest of it. But when it's kind of punky metal and I'm really enjoying it, and then it sort of goes into something else, it feels a bit jarring and I don't like it as much, and it definitely had that going on. So there was a bit of it that I was like, this is good as well, but I was enjoying the last bit.
Yeah, it's like, here's a bit of them, this is some music, you're enjoying this, now I'm going to throw something in, the same song that you don't like.
Yeah, it feels like the last two or three Metallica albums.
They've released more stuff since Tanga. Fucking hell.
Wow. Well, yeah, that was the start of a slippery slope, unfortunately. But it was good. And I was definitely enjoying it. I'm a bit of a punk at heart, and anything that's kind of heavy, hardcore, metal-y kind of punk, I'm into as well. So I definitely had that kind of thing. It was just a bit jarring, but I kind of get it. That's what they're going for. Fair enough. It's good.
I think for me, it's nostalgia, because this is a time when I was in bands and we were playing gigs all the time, and this is the sort of stuff I was hearing constantly. So when I hear this sort of stuff, it puts me in mind of driving to venues, driving to gigs, playing venues, that sort of thing. And this is the sort of stuff that I was listening to and sort of stuff I was hearing constantly. So I've got a sort of, like Rich always says, I've got a nostalgia for it straight away. It takes me back 15, 20 years. So, but having said that, it's not bad. I just really, it's my kind of jam.
What did you think, Jamie?
Not really my kind of thing, to be honest. And I love a bit of punk and metal and, you know, done well. But to be honest, I probably would have gone to the toilet if I was watching this. toilet song. But that's everything's subjective in it, you know? Yeah, that's just my honest opinion. But best of luck to them.
That's exactly it. Everything's subjective. There's a million people out there who love Slayer. Yeah. I went to the toilet when Slayer was on at the Unholy Alliance.
One of the band members in the picture actually has Slayer on the shirt.
Yeah, not a fan of Slayer at all.
Don't Slayer do like 70-minute sets? What were you doing in the toilet for that amount of time?
I went to the toilet, I got a hot dog, I lost a friend, so literally didn't bother ringing him, just decided to go and walk around till I found him.
Oh, well, I thought you meant you'd pissed him off and you fell out.
No, he just wandered off during the Slayer set, and I just was like, I'll just have a wander around till Slipknot come on. That's how much I enjoyed Slayer.
Excellent.
Well, that's that then. I think that we're spent on that.
I think if we're going for 100%, each one of us brings 25. I think, unfortunately, these guys have got 25% out of it this week. Which is just me, everybody. Just me.
I'd give him half of my 25.
Oh, there we go. We're up to 37.
30. And for,
yeah.
I still don't know what's going on.
Nor me. I've been doing this years.
All right, let's move on, Rich. Let's move on.
So moving on, it's the Intense Hardcore Genre Musical Challenge mode. Go.
Intense Hardcore Genre Musical Challenge mode. Bastard, go!
So, Richie, this week you were tasked with finding out all about Red Dirt, which I believe is a sort of country type thing. And I hear on the grapevine that you have indeed created your own piece of music for us again.
Well, before I do that, before I talk on it or say anything or play a piece of music that I've been forced to do by Wayne, I'm going to play a piece of music by someone who knows the genre.
Yeah.
Nobody classic. Sent any music via Twitter again. Last year, somebody on Twitter would always get back to us and they'd send us a piece of music over Twitter, because we are famous and massive now, so people just get back to us straight away. But recently, nobody seems to send anything over Twitter anymore. But because we've got thousands and thousands of submissions, I was able to go back and find this guy, who is Rob Petetti. I'll go with Petetti. I can find fuck all on this guy. He's got no bio on his Spotify, and the email that came to us said fuck all, apart from he had some sort of award.
Did he win it?
Nah, the fuck knows. This is Rob Petetti with his song Can't Stop the Rain.
Find these empty rooms just fade away until you can't
Yes, that was Can't Stop the Rain. Couldn't help notice that Rob Petetti sounds a lot like a lady. yeah. Red dirt is a genre of country music that gets its name from the colour of soil found in Oklahoma. Stillwater, Oklahoma is considered to be the centre of red dirt music, and many acts got their start in bars surrounding Oklahoma State University. I am on Wikipedia, fuck off. But the genre also extends to music made south of the river in Texas. Outlaw country legends Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson have been associated with the distinctive Texas sound. If you want to find more about this, n.wikipedia.org/wiki/red dirt music. Right, this is, to me, this is cowboy music. Do you want to say anything about this song before we move on to our rendition, Wayne?
I'm going to run on a parade a little bit because it's not red dirt because the guy's from Philadelphia. So, but it is.
The music's it's the fucking same.
Yeah,
it's a bit slower. It's a bit more mellow, maybe.
I will be completely honest with you. I downloaded a red dirt and it is red dirt. These guys, you know, profess to be red dirt country, and it's like it's just fucking country. That's what it is. And I'm not being detrimental. I quite like country. But it's just one of those things to hang your mantle on. Oh, I'm a bit red dirt. Why? Because I'm from Oklahoma. That's it.
Yeah.
I got a bit of Vonda Shepherd. Remember Vonda Shepherd?
No.
All those years ago, you did the Ally McBeal themes.
Bit
of that from her voice, a little bit. And I do love that lap steel guitar, stroke slide guitar, whatever's in it. I love all that stuff. It's lovely. Very nice song.
What do you think of this then, Mike?
Well, yeah, I really like the lap steel. That was my favourite bit of it, to be honest with you. I'm not a huge country fan. I can go as far as Americana and enjoy myself, but not so much into country. But I really like the lap steel. I read a thing, probably on the same Wikipedia page, but they said that red dirt is basically sort of similar to when people call indie a genre of rock and roll, in that there's not actually any sort of definitive sound, it's just that it's all bands that are in that sort of movement. So I guess you could call it country, but they might not like that. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I was surprised at how feminine Ted or whatever his name is sounded as well, but I assume Bob. That's Rob, was it? Bob. But no, in all seriousness, it was a well put together, well made song, if slightly out of my radar for that sort of thing. But I did enjoy it.
Jamie?
Yeah, Ted has nice pipes.
Rob.
Rob, even. Ted. What's the difference between red dirt and bluegrass then?
Nothing.
Well, the dirt's red and bluegrass is. Is there such a thing as bluegrass?
Yeah, bluegrass.
Bluegrass is better.
Red dirt is what you'd sort of officially call modern country. It's not country and western, and bluegrass is more acoustic-y, and it comes from the mountains, sort of like the Ozark Mountains, that sort of thing. So, that sort of thing. There is a vast difference between bluegrass and country, to be honest.
Right, okay. Well, I know a bit of Dolly Parton's bluegrass, and I liked that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Is it Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats? Is it Ratcliffe?
Ratliff.
And I think they're bluegrass, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the same, Rich. They escape many. You know, when you're chucking into that sort of pool, you can pull from all those different genres and make them your own. So yeah,
they are amazing live. I saw them live, and they're brilliant.
And the Dead South, I don't
bluegrass. I'd say they're bluegrass then.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I just want a disclaimer. If this does make it, well, I'm about to play into the episode, it is offensive, but it's just comedy. Fucking get over it. It's not serious. I did this in an hour. It's not meant to be a good piece of music. Wayne's done well. I'll take my hat off to Wayne with the music, apart from the drums. You've got to stop using them fucking machines. But
it's on my recorder, and it's just easy. I'm the same as you, Rich. This took me 90 minutes to put together. So
mine was 20 minutes.
So have you used the track I've recorded?
Yes, I've used your track, and I've put some bullshit over the top. So
before we even play it, we have to include it. I don't care what it is, we have to include it, because I think it's now such a fundamental part of the show that you record a song in the genre.
I don't want people getting the hopes up after last week. There's no way I can top last week's. Even I thought that was funny and good. So, not good, but, you know, it's just, anyway...
I played it for people at work. They fell off the god chairs.
Yeah. So this—it's just a bit of a laugh. Okay. So this is. Have we got a name for it? You've just called it "This Is Our Dirt," which fits, to be fair. this is Our Dirt by Wayne and Richie. Enjoy.
It's okay if we're from. We keep it in the family. Children, four cows and a tractor. Getting a combine fucking harvester. Getting that and whooping that and I'm trying to follow the guitar now. I love my sister, I do.
That is the single greatest piece of music I've ever heard.
This has to stop.
No, every week, please.
I've got to be honest, I think my favourite thing is you confused your sounds halfway through.
Yeah, did you?
We went from the south of America.
I became West Country England, didn't I?
I'm like, come by there, mister.
That's the single greatest thing I've heard today.
That's genuinely... Wow.
Again, I do apologise.
Oh. I would say don't play that to your doctor because you may well get sectioned.
Oh, Lord. Right. Can I just... Wayne, that was really good.
Like,
not to take away from Richie's incredible vocal, but musically, that was very impressive. It was well recreated.
Well, the reason I did that was because I was listening to a piece of music from the genre on a playlist, and one came on, and that's what it sounded like. I didn't understand a fucking word. Made no sense. I'm pretty sure still that he was just going hip and do hit the rip refuse, and I think there were no lyrics. But yeah, so I thought, yeah, I can definitely fucking do that.
Do you remember Vic Reeves on Shooting Stars?
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah,
club singer. Oh my god, this is the feature now. You realise that.
Yeah. I don't think... Anyway, we do need to choose another genre for next time. So, Wayne, have you got the genre Bible?
It is with me now.
Our guest, would you like to choose a letter?
How about J?
How about J? How many J's have we got?
About 40 again.
Okay, choose a number from 1 to 40.
40.
Right, okay, I'm gonna count these just to make sure I want to.
I mean, you could have just chose the last one.
It's 37, actually, but we'll go with the last one. It is called...
Let me get a pen and paper. Every fucking week.
I'm going to have fun with this one, Richard, because I enjoy writing the music for these damn things, even if you don't use them. It's called...
Your one last week was filthy, though.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Oh, mate, it was absolutely fucking disgusting.
It was.
Right, so this next week we're going to be you're going to be finding the music, Rich, of Junkanoo.
What name?
JUNKANOO, Junkanoo, or Junkanoo, which is Bahamas folk dance music.
Right, that should be interesting.
I'm looking forward to that.
I can't imagine
already.
We're going to get many people on Twitter replying to that fucking tweet.
It's gonna be brilliant. Look forward to the playlist tomorrow, Rich.
Yeah. Right. So, Mike, move us on.
Look, obviously, that was incredible. So next up, we've got Wayne's segment, which is called "Don't Know Much About History." What episode now? What chapter are we on now, Wayne?
It's chapter six.
Of course it's chapter six, because it's episode six. That makes fucking sense, doesn't it? Sorry.
So this is the history section.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to History Corner. This week, I'm going to ask you to pull up a pew, because we're going to be talking about a religious song. This episode, or on this chapter, is called Religion In It. And the main reason is because next week we're going down a bit of a rabbit hole, so I wanted to calm everything down this week and play some nice gospel music. So I brought this week, a song from 1888 called Throw Out the Lifeline by Reverend E.S. Ufford. This is one of the rare instances, people, where there is no Wikipedia page for this. I had to go delve in somewhere else. This is a Victorian era hymn, and it's written by, as I said, the Reverend Edward S. Hufford, who was a Baptist minister from Newark, New Jersey. And while visiting Nantucket Beach, he witnessed local life-saving station perform a drill where they shot out the rope from a lie gun. I don't know what that is, a Lyle gun, sorry. Into ships that were in trouble and pull them back. And he got the idea from the song from that. And upon returning, he wrote the words to the song in 10 minutes. And then Ufford showed it to this guy called George Coles Stebbins, who was the publisher of the Mail Chorus. And he published this song in 1888. And the song sounds a little bit like this.
Somebody's brother, oh, who then will
The theme tune to Dallas and Dynasty meet Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
This song concentrates on bringing people back in inverted commas to the gospel message and to help those drowning in sin. So, you know, for out of lifeline. This song has been covered by many, many people and probably no bigger than Ella Fitzgerald. And I implore you to go and listen to that version because it is fucking outstanding. I mean, the only other thing I can really mention is this song, when I heard it, sort of sparked a memory, but I don't know where from because I don't think I've ever heard it before. But it does feature in the 1971 TV movie Homecoming, A Christmas Story, which was it features on the Waltons family. And if you're from Britain in the 1980s, that was on Channel 4 every Sunday morning, I think it was. And it's performed in this TV movie by Cleavon Little, who plays Sheriff Bart in the Blazing Saddles. That's pretty much it. I don't know if really else to say, but definitely go check out the Ella Fitzgerald version. It was just one of them songs. To be fair, I listened to the Ella Fitzgerald version first, and just fell in love with it because it's Ella Fitzgerald doing gospel, and it sounds incredible. But yeah, Rich.
I mean, anybody who's got to this point in the show and still listening is probably thinking, what even is this podcast? But, it's a hymn. I never thought we'd ever have a hymn on the. I mean, then again, I suppose when we decided to do the history section, it was inevitable. But I mean, it's a hymn about inspired by some bloke who watched people throw hooks at boats. It's nice. I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting. I like the story. Song. I probably won't go on my playlist.
your feel-good playlist. I mean, it is a good song, and it does feel like the end of...
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the end
Ain't
of...
Your Wagon.
What's that film, black and white film, Christmas film, it's really depressed.
Wonderful Life.
Yeah, it's Wonderful Life. It's the only film that's ever made me cry. It feels like something that would appear at the end of a film like that, where it's all very joyous. And it's, oh, it's wonderful. Even though it's, you know, not that. But, it's just got that kind of, there's something about that, well, as you said, hymn-style kind of music that sort of feels like it's kind of, you know, you've reached the end of the story sort of thing, and now we're going to play this out. It was interesting. I wouldn't go back and listen to that over and over again, but I would listen to the Ella Fitzgerald version. I definitely want to hear that.
Trust me on the Ella Fitzgerald thing, because it's a religious experience listening to Ella Fitzgerald sing it.
No, I can imagine that. And Ella Fitzgerald, so, like, have I gone mad? Didn't we talk about Louis Armstrong recently? Last week. And Ella Fitzgerald, obviously, Summertime is a Louis Armstrong song, isn't it, that she covered?
Yeah, it's a bit of synchronicity there, yeah.
So there is sort of a link through here.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is quite nice.
Not next week. Fucking hell, not next week. Oh, wow.
I don't have much more to say on that. It was interesting, and I'm glad I experienced it. Jamie, what did you think?
Well, I had to run off to the toilet, and when I came back, I thought, yeah, Black Beauty, you were playing something like that, or the Waltz. <Black Beauty. laughs> So, yeah, I probably wouldn't need to hear that again, but I like Ella, obviously. I'd check hers out.
I do feel like I need to explain myself here. Look, Rich tasked me with the history section, and I just ran with it, and sometimes they're a bit off the wall, and you will find out next week that they do that. So do you want to know the title of next week's history section?
Chapter. Yes.
It's called Just to Prove Palm Readers Are Full of Shit. Sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of. Oh
my gosh. So last week it was racists.
Yeah.
Next week it's palm readers. All right.
Yeah.
Good. Good. This is... Did you imagine the podcast we like this year, Richie?
No, not at all, no. No, it's I practically came up with the whole format by myself, but I didn't expect it to pan out the way it has. No, not at all.
You did it to yourself.
Well, I for one am glad it has. So next up, I think it's our. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say, if our Biss is still listening, Tim Minchin, feel free to shout out. Feel free to shout that song out if you enjoyed
if
it.
If you're still listening, Tim Minchin, buymeacoffee.com/YHHTMP.
You probably would have had more luck with Pam Ayres, to be honest.
What, the airline?
Yeah, the airline. No, that's Pan Am. Pam Ayres, the poet. West okay. Country.
Yeah. We'll do that next time then.
Right. I've so lost on this now. So what's next? The artist spotlight. Woo! Woo! Jamie, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm traumatised after the first hour.
Good. Well, I think that's broadly the intention, I think. So, for those who don't know, so I've known you for a little while through various musical things. For those that don't know, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself and what you do, and obviously in particular, Flux as well, your latest project?
Sure, yeah. Well, I started releasing music about 7 years ago with an electronic duo called This Human Condition. And then after about 5 years, we took a break. And during the whole Pando thing, I formed another duo with my good friend Richard, which is Flux. And we'd written several tracks for This Human Condition. And I've also launched a solo career. I'm doing lots of collaborations during the lockdown as well. So, yeah, kind of got the three things going on. So I'm a vocalist, songwriter, lyric writer. That's my main strain.
And there is quite a range. Obviously, again, if you haven't heard Jamie's music before, then it's definitely worth checking out all three. But Flux is definitely very different to This Human Condition, for example. It's quite a sort of range of things in there. And I think the way that you write the songs is probably a bit different as well. Because I think Richard does, from memory, am I right in saying Richard does a lot of the production and you kind of fire out lyrics in 20 minutes and go, there you go, chuck it over the
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah. I'm very good at describing what I want or the sound or very much involved along the way. But yeah, Richard is the real genius with the producing. Yeah, he's great. I've sent him some awful things in the past and he's made some good out of it.
Excellent. You can send him some of Richie's covers if you want to. Sorry, that was quite offensive, Richie. I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
What about influences then? So who are your favourite musicians at the moment or in the past?
Oh god, that's such a question. I guess I've always been a massive lover of electronic music, early Depeche Mode, Erasure, Boy George, anything from Kate Bush to Anoni, John Grant, loads of different stuff. I mean, I like Led Zeppelin. I was raised on The Who.
Must have been quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was a bit at times. I just love music. I like something from every genre. Also, Sylvester and characters like Lee Bowery and Divine. Yeah, that definitely influences Flux. We're trying to be with Flux a bit more flamboyant out there, I guess.
It's definitely out there. And there's, I mean, the few songs that you've released, they're all quite different to each other as well, which is quite interesting. It's kind of, it takes you on a little bit of a journey, I think. It's like a pinball machine.
Yeah, well, we started off with Handbag Punk, which is kind of the genre that we came up with for ourselves, electronic. Where, you know, people get you to describe your music. It's so different, the stuff we do, that we just decided we'd call it electronic handbag punk. So that we started with this track called Handbag Punk, which is really a salute to Divine and Sylvester and Patrick Cowley.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, even creating a genre, or, you know, finding a way to describe your music that's sort of not, you know, oh, we're a rock band or whatever, is I think it's quite difficult to do, and it's difficult to sort of make yourself, you know, I think everyone almost has to stand out, and then if everyone's standing out, no one stands out, and it's that sort of weird balance, that weird tightrope that we all kind of walk when we're putting stuff out. That isn't sort of red dirt music or whatever, but this it's interesting, because when you released Handbag Punk, that was definitely something that was kind of like, oh, I get why that's called that, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
but, you know, listening to the latest tune, it's like, oh, I wonder where you are with that sort of genre journey now. Genre journey now. But it almost doesn't matter, does it? It's about expression. It's about, you know, having fun and, you know, enjoying what you're doing and putting something out that's, you know, just kind of good music, I suppose. I don't know. Do you focus on genres? Do you care about genres?
Not really. I sort of see the tracks really in terms of different personalities. And I think a lot of our stuff is not the same. It kind of really stands out. Like, we did a track with This Human Condition. It was Richard and I from Flux that wrote it, called Normal. I don't know if you remember that one. And we were calling that, like, Calypso-tronica. But we literally just laughed and joked one day and said, oh, let's do a Calypso-type track. And it came from there, really.
What motivates you as a musician? What do you aspire to do with music, or what drives you on?
I just think to create something that you're quite proud of to put out, and hopefully other people connect with it. And they're a bit like, it's a bit like writing a diary for me, I guess. Some of the tracks are a bit heartfelt and remind me of different periods of my life. Yeah, it just feels quite exciting making something and putting it out in it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, it is. I mean, it's genuinely a good feeling, isn't it? When something appears on, you know, whatever streaming platform, or if someone plays it on a fantastic podcast like this one, or a radio station, or whatever. There's something about it that kind of makes you feel good. And also, I think when other people sort of comment on something, I really like that one. I mean, this track that we've got tonight, I was genuinely, a bit like the one we played earlier, actually, I was just like, wow, this is really, really good. And I kind of wasn't expecting it, which I think is a nice. Well, it's good, isn't it? I mean, that's, you know, if equally, like, familiar music is also good, but it's nice when something kind of throws you and you go, oh, I didn't expect that to come out of there. I think it's really, really good.
Yeah, and I'm surprising people is part of the package for me as well. You know, I don't really want to churn out the same stuff, and because we would just get bored, and presumably so would the listener. But,
well, yeah, I mean, with the exception of maybe AC/DC and Motorhead, I don't think anyone has ever successfully written the same song 200 times and made a career out of it. It's kind of, you know. I've never asked you this, but do you play an instrument as well as sing?
I can play some instruments. Nothing I would do in public. I mean, I've got a guitar sat here, and I have written songs on it, but yeah, nothing that I'm really comfortable to do in public. More of a natural kind of lead singer, front man, that's kind of where I'm more comfortable.
So say Richard sends you a piece of music, or does he send you the music first, or do you come up with something?
It's all different ways, actually. With Just Because You Can Doesn't Mean You Should track, this was actually a demo that I came up with years ago. I started writing it in a tent when I was at Glastonbury, lyrically, and then I knocked up a little demo of it and sent it to Richard, and that it came from that. He has sent me pieces of music. He's also formed music from a cappella pieces that I've sent him. So
that's what I was going to ask, yeah, because that must be, I don't know, because I'm not a very good musician, but I would imagine even as a competent musician, it must be, if someone just sends you a vocal, I find that really difficult, whereas if someone sent me a guitar track, I feel like I could shove some stuff over that'll be all right. When you've got the vocal, it's kind of, it's there, isn't it? And then you're finding something that makes it fit. I mean, you know,
Richard actually prefers that. When we did our first track back in 2011, Psychotropic, and I was in a rock band at the time, and that was written as a rock track. And he said he didn't want to hear it. I was just telling him about it. And he said, I don't want to hear it, just send me the vocals. And he formed this dance track out of it. So
excellent. Super talented Blake. I did have a couple of random questions to ask you, but I wondered if Ritchie or Wayne had any questions for you.
I don't think you've left us with any questions to give him.
Sorry. I just remembered you were there. Like, I was expecting to chip in.
Just having a whale of a time, were you? You know? I listened to you, Jamie. Obviously, it sounds like you're a heavy festival goer. Obviously, that's going to have a massive impact on your sound and on your style and obviously your performance as well. Is that correct? Is that what you'd sort of expect from a show?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely music that we've written in mind for kind of audience participation or to get a little reaction in places. In Handbag Punk, when we shout out Spunk, I've actually performed that live and got the crowd to shout Spunk back at me, and that was quite thrilling.
As long as they only shout Spunk and not like Richard's neighbour across the road.
Yeah.
Richard's neighbour, if you're listening, you're not invited.
Yeah, you sort of pricked my ears up when you said Lee Bowery and Divine, obviously. And they're massive personalities, and I'm assuming that that's exactly what you're going for.
Absolutely.
On stage as well, yeah. Excellent.
I don't always dress up. I have done, yeah. It depends really on the show.
So music only forms part of your sort of persona, as it were. It's only like a 50% or 70% of what you do. The other half is what you guys bring as well. So it's more of a, if you listen to the music, you're only going to get so much from it, even though if it's, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't heard your music yet because Mike's just, you know, we had a guest pull out.
You had an hour's notice.
We had an hour's notice, yeah. I'd love to see you live then. That's the main thing.
How would you say your performance is? Would you say it's flamboyant or would you say it's hard hitting?
It's both of those things. Yeah, in songs like Handbag Punk, which is more flamboyant. Yeah, or Disco Bunny, or definitely dress up a bit and make that more flamboyant. But we've got deeper tracks like Psychotropic, which is about mental health, or Telepathic Heights, which is about a riot, and we do that quite seriously. So yeah, it depends. I think a nice diverse mix. You've got to take people on a journey, haven't you? I think
especially if you're doing a show, you need to make a show. Unless you're I wouldn't go and see Adele live. Suck a dick. But just watching someone stand on stage and do fuck all apart from singing to a mic isn't my thing. It's nice to see a show. It's nice to see someone perform. So yeah.
Yeah, we've done it a lot with projection and a bit of performance art. With Bullets in This Human Condition, Mr. Minchie is a really great dancer. So we kind of did performance art as well. That worked quite well.
So unless you've got anything else to add, Mike, I think we should listen to this song.
No, let's listen to the song and then I might ask you one more question, which is a bit random, but I feel like you get to know someone by asking that question a bit better. But let's play the song first and save it.
Well,
for
it's the end of the fucking show, Mike. If we play
it's the last thing. All right, okay, fine. Sorry. Yeah. No, I forgot. On the other podcast today, we sometimes talk to them afterwards. But you know,
I know we will talk to them afterwards as a bit of an encore thing. But we don't say it. We don't let the listeners know. It's just.
I forget it. Just play the song. Just play the song.
You're gonna have to build up to it. I can't edit that in.
it's been very, very difficult to do this because I've still got tears streaming down my face with your fucking genre challenge. So you've got to bear with me here, all right?
So I think we'll call it an end to the show there. Jamie, thank you so much for jumping in at the last minute and saving
welcome.
Our bacon. You've been absolutely wonderful and very understanding.
I've enjoyed it. Cheers.
It's been wonderful. Mike, Five, Wayne, thank you very much for joining.
Always a pleasure, dude. Always.
Also, and until next time, I've been Richie.
I've been Wayne.
I've been Mike Five.
And our guest has been
Jamie Jamal.
Thank you for listening, if indeed you still are.
Days were bland then, I didn't plan them, thought that life was smoking bottle. One size fits all. Feeling rascal.
Wow, that was fucking immense. I was. Do you know the? Is it called Oxygen by Jean Michael Jarre?
Yeah,
Jean Michel Jarre.
Jean, whatever, call him what you want.
What, his name, you mean?
Yeah, I was kind of hearing a bit of the. I mean, there was fucking shitloads I was hearing in there, but I was picking out a bit of that. I was hearing a rage, like, and it was a bit like Erasure in parts. It was that was proper. If you can pull that off like that on stage, fucking fair play to you. That is really powerful. I love that you got like a Gregorian style backing vocal type thing going on.
Yeah.
How did you do that? Did you just like change the pitch on your voice?
It's a Welsh male choir.
You got yourself a Welsh male choir?
No, it's all done. All of this track is done electronically. So Richard found this piece of program. I did write it down somewhere to tell you, but I can't find it now. Where all the phonetically, it's all been recorded, so you just write in the words you want and then you form this choir.
That's
so
mental.
So you've weaved it in like that, yeah.
And the strings as well. The strings were confusing me because you had the backwards and forwards of the bow, but it still sounded like it was done electronically, which you don't get with synth usually.
Yeah.
You don't know how he did that, do you?
No. But it was, all as I know, is it was all created electronically.
Wow, that is phenomenal. He's got to be a very, very good producer.
He's brilliant, yeah. Yeah, very dynamic. I mean, it's very... Yeah, he just goes on and on. I mean, I think we were up to about 35 different versions come the end.
Wow. Yeah. I'd be very interested to see you perform live now. And I don't usually say... Well, I do say it. I'll say that usually disingenuously. I don't really mean it, but I actually mean it this time.
Oh, bless you.
So, yeah, well, that's a wrap. You got anything to add, Wayne, Mike?
Yeah, there's some really lovely, like, notes of dark 80s electro in there, like Gary Newman and the darker stuff by Soft Cell.
And Gene Michael Jarre.
Not Gene Michael Jarre, no. No, I was going, that sort of thing. And, the name of it lose me. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, some of their stuff as well. Yeah, he's certainly rocking that sort of synthy wavy, darky wave, dark synthwavy vibe with your vocals over the top, which, like Rich said, very Erasure-esque. I said, it's a hell of a track, that. It went to places I wasn't expecting as well.
That's the thing. And, you know, when you sort of put your hand up and went, yeah, I can do it, I was like, oh, brilliant, because I get to play this track again. And it's just amazing. Like, I've never heard anything like it. And that's probably what sort of strikes me. Like you say, the electronic Welsh male choir is just
phenomenal.
It's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely fucking brilliant. I just love it. I just love every single second of that tune. I thought it was amazing. The way it sort of almost in the middle feels like it's going to turn into a club track and then it doesn't quite and kind of comes back down, I thought it was really smart. Vocally, lyrically, musically, absolutely top notch. Really, really appreciate you obviously coming in last minute. Sorry that the second half was mostly me crying, but that's Richie's going to have to do a lot of editing.
I moan about the amount of time I'm going to spend editing. I'm going to shut up after listening to that the production on what we just listened to. He must have spent fucking ages sat at the computer.
Yeah, a long time.
But
yeah,
definitely worth it, though. Definitely worth it. The fucking amazing sound.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he'll be thrilled to hear that.
I'm sure it's not the first time.
Yes. We've been lucky. We've had some really great feedback and comments on this track. Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Summer is right around the corner, and you know what that means. Cooking out, diving in, and soaking up a whole lot of sunshine. The Home Depot has everything you need to start your summer right. Upgrade your cookout game with Traeger grills and smokers. Then gather around a new Hampton Bay patio set with family and friends. It feels like Memorial Day at the Home Depot with savings on summer fun. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.